Fifth Column Takeover of the Fifth Reich. U.S. Military Intelligence Report EUPA 128, also known as the Red House Report, is a detailed account of a secret meeting held at the Maison Rouge Hotel in Strasbourg on August 10, 1944. There, Nazi officials ordered an elite group of German industrialists to plan for Germany's post-war recovery, prepare for the Nazis' return to power and work for a strong German empire. In other words, the Fourth Reich. The three-page, closely typed report, marked secret, copied to British officials and sent by air pouch to Cordell Hull, the U.S. Secretary of State, detailed how the industrialists were to work with the Nazi Party to rebuild Germany's economy by sending money through Switzerland. Frankfurter Schule is a school of neo-Marxist philosophy. Nazi officials would create a network of secret front companies abroad. They would wait until conditions were right. And then they would take over Germany again. The industrialists included representatives of Volkswagen, Krupp, and Messerschmitt. Officials from the Navy and Ministry of Armaments were also at the meeting and, with incredible foresight, they decided together that the Fourth German Reich, unlike its predecessor, would be an economic rather than a military empire but not just German. Adam Leber, revealed, the secret report that shows how the Nazis planned a Fourth Reich, in the EU, Daily Mail, May 9, 2009. The Fourth Reich is here without a shot being fired, and the rest of Europe, and the world, had better get used to it, author Simon Heffer wrote for the Daily Mail in 2013. German Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble's wheelchair set the EU analogy to Dr. Strangelove. In their 2014 book, The EU, The Truth About the Fourth Reich, How Hitler Won the Second World War, authors Daniel J. Beddoes and Flavio Cipollini argued that the single currency, the free market and the phrase United States of Europe were all dreamt up by lofty Nazis, including the Führer himself. They also claimed that the only country which benefits from the EU is Germany, just as Hitler planned. In 1990, UK Cabinet Minister Nicholas Ridley, a close ally of Margaret Thatcher, was forced to resign after he described proposed economic and monetary union as a German racket designed to take over the whole of Europe and said that giving up sovereignty to the European Union was as bad as giving it up to Hitler. Owen Bennett, the EU was Hitler's idea and it proves Germany won the Second World War, claims new book, Daily Express, April 17, 2014. Meanwhile, the fertile ground of the former East Germany continued to churn out extremists. Far-right parties have successfully made inroads into mainstream politics. Demagogue Marine Le Pen lost in 2017 to French Jupiterian Emmanuel Macron. After an estimated 180 racist killings in Germany since unification in 1990, after countless assaults, cases of intimidation, the conclusion has to be that Germany is losing the battle against the violent far right, said authoritative news magazine Der Spiegel. Alan Hall, Terrifying Rise of the Fourth Reich, fears Germany is losing its battle with neo-Nazi menace, Mirror, September 1, 2012. Austria shifted to the right after Sebastian Kurz became chancellor. In Greece, resentment of Germany was growing amid the perception that Berlin was imposing tough austerity measures on the country. Germany doesn't care that 3 million pensioners are dying here, said Greek television personality Georgios Tranges. It was widely believed that German Chancellor Angela Merkel had been the driving force behind European Union demands for additional austerity measures in Greece. The sight of swastika flags became a frequent one at Greek protests against the hardened austerity measures that were imposed on the country. Former Finance Minister Evangelos Venizelos was portrayed in cartoon strips as an Auschwitz guard searching for a final solution for the Greek poor. Panos Kamenos of the Independent Greeks, ANEL, wore a t-shirt saying, "Greece is not for sale." Seeing the EU as the Fourth German Reich was not uncommon in Greece. Associations representing doctors, lawyers, and structural engineers met in Athens and agreed on a unified boycott of products from Germany. Already, the burning of German flags, and the display of swastikas, has become de rigueur at anti-austerity demonstrations in Greece. Johannes Korge and Feri Batsoglu, railing against the Fourth Reich, anti-German mood heats up in Greece, Der Spiegel, February 9, 2012. British politician Nigel Farage was supportive of leaving the European Union. In his 2008 book The Rise of the Fourth Reich, The Secret Societies That Threatened to Take Over America, New York Times best-selling author Jim Mars argued that some surviving members of Germany's Third Reich, in conjunction with sympathizers in the United States and elsewhere, had been working surreptitiously since the end of World War II to mirror the main beliefs of Nazism. He cited the authority of Nazis brought into the United States at the end of World War II, such as Nazi scientists brought in under Operation Paperclip to develop NASA in the U.S., and the ownership and foundation of corporations by Nazis and their followers after the war, in both Europe and the United States. Mars, who inspired the Oliver Stone movie JFK, died of a heart attack in 2017. Our current system of capital dates back to the Doomsday Book, 1085, when William the Conqueror decided which of his goldsmiths should issue coinage and loans for him, Shader, page 147. Inbred pedigrees of the royal court in time established the hereditary crown corporation. Spanning over 1,000 years, the Merovingians were among the most powerful and most important Germanic Frankish family leaders after the decline of the Roman Empire. An embellished legend traces the Merovingians to ancestry from Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Current medical research shows that variations of a particular DNA alteration make isolated bloodlines more likely to have genetic disorders and related symptoms, see page 159. Modern studies examining maternal DNA showed that more than 80% of the maternal lineages of Ashkenazi Jews could be traced to Europe, with only a few lineages originating in the Near East. By the end of the first millennium, Ashkenazi communities were historically visible along the Rhine Valley in Germany. This suggests that, in the early years of the diaspora, Judaism took in many converts from amongst the European population, but they were mainly recruited from amongst women. Thus, on the female line of descent, the Ashkenazim primarily trace their ancestry neither to Palestine nor to Hazaria, but to southern and western Europe. New information is discovered about the ancestry of Ashkenazi Jews, Heritage and Archaeology News, October 9, 2013. Based on the study of DNA haplogroups, analysts speculated that Ashkenazi Jews with distinct German traits, Frankfurt School, minus Judaism were chosen to be an upshot of the Fourth Reich. Indeed, many Sephardi and Mizrahi Jews were wondering why a disproportionate number of German haplogroups were at the very pinnacle of societal hierarchies and more importantly why the state of affairs was being identified with Zionism. Since neither the Balfour Declaration nor the Zionist movement founded by Theodor Herzl made any mention of Germanic ascendancy, the State of Israel was urged to provide an official clarification. Germany now represents Israel in Islamic countries. The 2017 sex scandal of disgraced producer Harvey Weinstein had negative effects on Germanophiles at the center of Hollywood. The British son of Hollywood film director Patrick Kinney was an Al-Qaeda poster boy. The collaboration, Hollywood's Pact with Hitler, a book by historian Ben Urwand, published in 2013, presented explosive new evidence about the shocking extent of the partnership between the Nazis and major Hollywood producers. Many dozens of Hollywood movies were imported into Nazi Germany each year, and they often did stunningly well at the box office. The American movies that the Nazis loved best were those that proclaimed the need for a strong leader. David Meekick's, Hollywood's Creepy Love Affair with Adolf Hitler, in explosive new detail, Constantine Report, June 11, 2013. According to the BBC, the question of the presence of the far right in Ukraine remains a highly sensitive issue, one which top officials and the media shy away from. Arseniy Yatsenyuk became the prime minister of Ukraine following the 2014 Euromaidan uprising. The Speaker of Parliament, Volodymyr Groysman, is Jewish. He has the third most powerful position in the country after the president and prime minister. The BBC uncovered neo-Nazis in Kiev leading the mobs and the overthrow of an elected government. Reports said that neo-Nazis were a focal point in Ukraine's new political landscape. Many Ukrainians are unaware that they exist, or even what a neo-Nazi or fascist actually is, or what they stand for. Ukraine's media have been noticeably silent on this subject. In 2014, President Petro Poroshenko presented a Ukrainian passport to someone who, according to human rights activists, was a Belarusian neo-Nazi. The Ukrainian leader handed out medals on December 5 to fighters who had tenaciously defended the main airport in the eastern region of Donetsk from being taken over by Russian-backed separatists. Among the recipients was Sergei Korokhik, a Belarusian national, to whom Mr. Poroshenko awarded Ukrainian citizenship, praising his courageous and selfless service. The president's website showed a photo of Poroshenko patting the shoulder of the Belarusian, who was clad in military fatigues. Experts who follow the far right have strongly objected to President Poroshenko's decision. They say Korokhik was a member of the far-right Russian National Unity Party and also a founding member of the Neo-Nazi National Socialist Society, NSS, in Russia. According to Ukrainian academic Anton Shekhovsov, the NSS's main goal is to prepare for a race war. Mr. Shekhovsov said the Belarusian had been charged for involvement in a bombing in central Moscow in 2007, and was detained in 2013 in the Belarusian capital Minsk for allegedly stabbing an anti-fascist activist. David Stern, Ukraine underplays role of far-right in conflict, BBC News, December 13, 2014. In a 2015 talk with CNN's Fareed Zakaria, President Obama revealed the United States' involvement in the Ukrainian clash from its outset and stated that the U.S. had brokered a deal to transition power in Ukraine. Robert Mueller was the FBI director from 2001 until 2013, when the Euromaidan revolution took place in Ukraine. The FBI sent advisors to the Ukrainian security services. Anti-Trump FBI agent Peter Strzok was fired after James Comey. Some U.S. counsels not in favor of Ukrainian fascists were accused of collusion with Russia. In 2018, Mueller convicted Paul Manafort, a Trump campaign chairman who authorized a secret media plan for Ukraine's former leadership. Since a self-styled Fourth Reich was to be more an economic than a military empire, corruption of the world banking system would lead to a damaged global economy. The supposed neo-Ashkenazi, recipient of Aryan certification, takeover went on the blink, thanks to a leadership vacuum in an ongoing financial war. Obstruction was foreseeable as Asian global powers rose up in opposition to traditionalist Rothschild Rockefeller domination of the Federal Reserve Board. In 2015, France, Germany and Italy joined the UK in signing onto the Chinese-led Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIIB, brushing off Washington's reservations about the burgeoning institution and leaving the U.S. on the sidelines. Analysts believed Washington's efforts to keep allies outside the bank had all but collapsed. According to The Telegraph, the bank had support from countries including India, Singapore, Malaysia, Cambodia, Pakistan, the Philippines, Uzbekistan, and Vietnam. However, several major economic institutions allied to the U.S., including Japan, South Korea and Australia, declined to become founding members. Leaders of emerging economies like the BRICS Brazil, Russia, China, India, and South Africa have a litany of grievances against these institutions, that their loans impose austerity measures which cripple long-term growth and mold developing economies into neocolonial commodities markets for the West, and that the US and Europe have lost all credibility since the global financial crisis of 2008, when economic turmoil and imprudent financial planning in the West sent shockwaves through the less industrialized world. Michael Pitsey, Europe's economic powerhouses snub US, sign up to China-led World Bank, Al Jazeera, March 17, 2015. Governments of the non-Western world rebelled against Bavarian Illuminati plans for world domination. The takedown of the cabal spread confusion and chaos at the highest levels of G7 governments. It was argued, by Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, that unchecked capitalism could be substituted with populist economics. As reported by Greg Palust, the agenda of this new, active voice populism challenges not only conservative philosophy but also Wall Street's dominance of our politics on both sides of the aisle. American journalist Abby Martin covered inequality and the role of grassroots activism. Occupy Wall Street provided the first volleys. But we will need much more popular education and much greater popular mobilization. Hard times do not generate movements. Times have been hard for people for a long time. Movements grow only when harsh reality is combined with dedicated organizers and teachers. In the original populist movement at the end of the 19th century, literally thousands of organizers lectured on the back of wagons in farms across the country, helping people to understand how they were getting shafted, who was at fault, and what they might do about it. The New Populism. Paul Wilkinson, dubbed Britain's leading academic specialist in the study of terrorism, was a frequent commentator in mainstream British media and an advisor to the UK government. He directed research projects into the emergence of modern international terrorism in the 1970s and 1980s. Throughout his career, which spanned 5 decades that saw the rise of the Irish Republican Army's bombings to the September 11, 2001 attacks, Wilkinson was critical of right-wing extremists such as Jean-Marie Le Pen of France and radical Bavarian Franz Josef Strauss. Paul Wilkinson condemned the George W. Bush administration's approach to counter-terrorism, such as the Guantanamo detention camp, which he criticized as flouting international law and criminal justice. Wikipedia.org. Was the decline of Fourth Reich reliance an indication that Germanic Jews no longer attracted the German industrialists? A Fifth Reich was already overshadowing it. The Fifth Cohort moved in provision of Germanic Muslims. It was discernible from groups asking, was Khomeini's father a Brit, to British jihadi John's uncanny set of contacts with MI5. Aryan Muslims like the White Widow and Azam the American put the lid on shocking reports and videos showing beheadings. On the other hand, would westernized Muslims eventually come forward as gracious and virtuous protectors? In 2018, historians said the Queen of England was a descendant to the founder of Islam. A fifth column is any group of people who chip away at a larger grouping from within. Nazim, from the Arabic word for organizer, also echoed the German industrialists' 1,000-year name. Why Germanic Muslims? It's the DNA haplogroups, stupid, the comeback befalls a hip variation of the phrase the economy, stupid, which James Carville had coined as a campaign strategist for Bill Clinton. Game of Thrones is an American fantasy drama television series based on George R.R. Martin's best-selling book series A Song of Ice and Fire. It's the depiction of medieval kings and queens playing a deadly game for control of kingdoms. According to the rules of the contest, one cannot reign if utter wealth and power are not contained by one's own bloodline or committee of cousins. The UK Royal Windsors, maintaining the crown of 53 independent countries and 2.2 billion citizens, are of squeaky clean Germanic lineage. Thus, it is only fitting that their financial courtiers and armed forces office holders be of the same DNA haplogroups. After all, such are the conventions of heraldic birthright. Over 20 years of analysis of British DNA revealed heavy Anglo-Saxon influence, with French and Danish DNA coming from earlier migrations than the Normans or Vikings. The analysis shows that the Anglo-Saxons were the only conquering force, around 400 to 500 AD, to substantially alter the country's genetic makeup, with most white British people now owing almost 30% of their DNA to the ancestors of modern-day Germans. Hannah Devlin, genetic study reveals 30% of white British DNA has German ancestry, The Guardian, March 18, 2015. Since billions of people desire a more even distribution of wealth, the unsupported committee goes all out to present itself as the lesser of two evils. The other greater evil can be contrived with crisis actors or shows of false flag hostility. Under the blight of irrational fear, the lesser of two evils is forever better than nothing, and the unjust game of a few is profitably carried out against the will of the world's inhabitants. If the imperial performance carries on, Conceivably a future Reich or sixth generation may focus on Germanic Buddhists as an aspect of the same commission's great game for the Middle East and Indochina in line with the rules of heraldic inheritance. The Hanover-Saxe-Gotha paradox is a blueprint of cognitive dissonance because the royal establishment and lineup of Bavarian nobles include members of an affluent family circle who may ponder on opposite sides during a major crisis. They are not at all times in agreement. The stakes range from social equality to economic despotism. Nonetheless, they are privatized, incorporated, and well informed of operations as they have been for a number of centuries while reigning over Europe and the overseas colonies. 12-year-old Bridge and Avignon, of Salinas, California, created a groundbreaking family tree in 2012 that connected 42 of 43 U.S. presidents to one common, and rather unexpected, ancestor, King John of England, memorable for signing the Magna Carta in 1215. D'Avignon traced both the male and female family lines to make the correlation. Her 80-year-old grandfather, who had been tracing roots for nearly six decades, helped her make the presidential links. Prior to D'Avignon's discovery, genealogists were only able to link 22 families of presidents, likely because they only focused on male bloodlines. Snejana Farbarav is ruling in the genes. All presidents bar one are directly descended from a medieval English king, Daily Mail, August 5, 2012. Britain's Real Monarch was a chronological documentary presented by Tony Robinson on English TV Channel 4 on January 3, 2004. The program based its argument on the centuries-old claim that King Edward IV, 1442-1483, was illegitimate, born to Cecily, Duchess of York, by an English archer, surnamed Blaybourne by some, while her husband Richard of York was fighting elsewhere in France. Wikipedia.org. The legitimacy of Edward IV was the subject of speculation at the time, and a document in Rouen Cathedral was presented by Dr. Michael Jones as indicating that Richard and Cecily were about 100 miles, 160 kilometers, apart during the five-week period when Edward's conception must have occurred, assuming that the pregnancy went to a normal term. If Edward was indeed illegitimate, then he and his descendants had no claim to the throne. Tell them, when that my mother went with child. Of that unsatiate Edward, noble York. My princely father then had wars in France. And, by just computation of the time, found that the issue was not his begot. William Shakespeare, Richard III, c. 1592. The game of Crown Corporation calls for a high priesthood to mystically bequeath divine rights to a monarch. A war treasury is also required to defend and increase princely powers with military might. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his servants. Then you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. 1 Samuel 8:17-18. As a royal, administrative, judicial, commercial and cultural center, London was able to offer merchants a range of maritime services unrivaled by other British ports. Major businesses like the East India Company had their headquarters in the city. Important institutions like Lloyd's of London and the Baltic Exchange began their insurance and shipbroking activities in the coffee houses of the 17th and 18th centuries. As well as trade, London was also a major center for shipbuilding and the making of scientific and navigational instruments. Maritime London, 1700 to now, National Maritime Museum, 2015. Maritime law, or Admiralty law, was introduced into England at the Crusades. In 1192, the Corporation of London elected its first mayor. By 1691, skippers bordering on buccaneers and posh mariners who frequented Lloyd's Coffee House in London began using it as an office for maritime insurance. The American writer Jordan Maxwell, considered to be a specialist on ancient religions and exposed conspiracies, said that much of our modern maritime law is shrewdly based on the astrotheology of the Bavarian Illuminati. Humans are maritime admiralty products, they also have a certificate of manifest, or birth certificate. In England, Special Admiralty Courts handle all maritime cases. These courts do not use the common law of England, but are civil law courts largely based upon the Corpus Juris Civilis of Justinian. Maritime law or Admiralty law is a distinct body of law that governs nautical questions and offences. It is a body of both domestic law governing seafaring activities, and private international law governing the relationships between private entities that operate vessels on the oceans. Three leading cities are actually corporations. They are the City of London, Crown Rule, District of Columbia, War Treasury, and the Vatican, High Priesthood. They come under no national authority, they have separate laws, they pay no taxes, they have their own police force and even possess their own flag of independence. When Congress passed the Act of 1871, it created a separate corporate government for the District of Columbia. This allowed the District of Columbia, and the Central Bank of America, to function as a privatized business clear of the Constitution. At the center of each city-state are giant stone monuments called obelisks. Vatican Obelisk, located in St. Peter's Square, was moved from Egypt to its current location, in 1586. In D.C. the obelisk is known as the Washington Monument. It was dedicated to George Washington by the Secretive Brotherhood of the Freemason Grand Lodge of the District of Columbia in 1848. London Obelisk, aka Cleopatra's Needle, located on the banks of the River Thames, this obelisk was transported to London and erected in 1878 under the reign of Queen Victoria. The obelisk originally stood in the Egyptian city of An, or Heliopolis, the city of the sun. The Knights Templars' territory included this area of the Thames, where the Templars had their own docks. Built in about 1500 BC by Pharaoh Thothmes III, Cleopatra's Needle had been presented to England at the beginning of the 19th century. Its transport to London was only made possible in October 1877 by a private sponsor, Dr. Erasmus Wilson, and by John Dixon, who designed a cylindrical vessel, the Cleopatra, built around the needle. Admiralty law deals with matters involving marine commerce, marine navigation, marine salvaging, shipping, sailors, and the transportation of passengers and merchandise by sea. Because admiralty courts did not, as is true today, grant trial by jury, a colonist accused of violating the Stamp Act could be more easily convicted by the Crown. Maritime law stirred the plots of offshore, dual citizenship, financial concealment. The April 2016 Panama Papers data leak revealed the offshore links of some of the world's most prominent figures. Daphne Caruana Galizia, a journalist who led the Panama Papers probe, was killed by an October 2017 car bomb. An offshore tax haven is a state, country, or territory where, on a national level, certain taxes are levied at a low rate or not at all. Andorra, the Bahamas, Belize, Bermuda, the British Virgin Islands, the Cayman Islands, the Channel Islands, the Cook Islands, Hong Kong, the Isle of Man, Mauritius, Liechtenstein, Monaco, Panama, Switzerland, and St. Kitts and Nevis are all considered tax havens. Investopedia. Deepwater Horizon was an ultra-deepwater, dynamically positioned, semi-submersible offshore oil drilling rig. In September 2009, the rig drilled the deepest oil well in history, near Houston, at a depth of 35,050 feet 10,683 meters. Exploratory drilling began in March 2009. Following the explosion and sinking of the Deepwater Horizon oil rig on April 20, 2010, a seafloor oil gusher flowed for 87 days, until it was capped on July 15, 2010. It was considered the largest unanticipated marine oil spill in the history of the petroleum industry. Some reports indicated the well continued to leak. I've been to a lot of funerals, and this damn sure isn't a funeral, is it? An older congressman remarked with a scoff. Except that's not correct, the platform worker surprisingly stated. It was an eerie supernatural funeral, as I saw it. They had a wild party with drugs on the bridge. An uproar of remarks erupted in the hall. The platform worker continued. They had a wild party because he wasn't. He wasn't what? The person in command abruptly asked. He wasn't dead, the platform engineer responded. Two oil cartel lawyers quickly sprang up facing a monitor. One of them spoke out. Assisted suicide laws are very clear in the United States. But not in some nations around the world if they do exist at all, he hammered his message home. In international seas or transboundary waters, as is the case with this particular offshore burial, there is no existent clear-cut regulation on assisted suicide, nor is there a statute criminalizing that activity under maritime law. After a considered calm, the skillful attorney carried on. The deceased financier was in a vegetative coma condition. His doctors had experimented with various types of cryonic preservation for years. But when it was at last evident that full recovery would not be possible, his final petition stipulated assisted suicide and burial at sea. Certainly, no admiralty laws were violated at that point of your probe. Any entitlement to offshore euthanasia is not within this assembly's decision-making authority. It is a ruling of international and maritime laws. Indication that bourgeoisie merchants of the Enlightenment probably did take part in strange neo-pagan rites is the so-called equatorial baptism. When a ship crosses the equator, King Neptune, assisted by Davy Jones, comes aboard to exercise authority over his domain. Equatorial baptism, also called baptism on the line, is a sailor's initiation. The origins of this ceremony go back to ancient times when sailors were very superstitious and made obsequious pleas to the god Neptune, the ruler of the seas, to bring them home safely. Crossing the equator, Museum Victoria. Presently, old Father Neptune made his appearance dressed in full regalia. The crown on his head was dazzling in its brightness, and the trident he carried was a formidable affair. Thomas Park, migrated from England in 1852. In 1922, while serving in the five-mast barkentine Forest Friend, Bent Syverts described his own initiation experience of crossing the line. On crossing the equator, Second Mate Sam Hort organized an initiation of newcomers to the realm of King Neptune. Chips the old carpenter sat on a bench in a long gown with a trident hat painted red. Sam Hort as Neptune's priest wore a backward southwester and oilskins. Neptune's slave and Neptune's policeman attended in amazing costumes. We four ordinary seamen were seized at noon and locked up with no dinner. When the court was ready, we were taken out one by one and presented to Neptune with a resume of our character, which turned out to be deplorable. Several penances and punishments were awarded. We were made to eat rotten eggs, stand on our heads in a barrel of water, then tarred from head to foot with Stockholm tar and whacked with policeman sticks. The captain and his wife watched from the poop. Next day they gave us each a certificate. Over the years, good natured fun graduated into hazing, and the hazing became actual abuse or worse. Some examples can be found on the internet. When it was clear that the activities were not being thoroughly regulated by captains and masters, unsuccessful attempts to regulate the activity were initiated by many agencies and navies. By 1989-90, the ceremony had become widely banned by many navies and agencies, although may be now carried out in secret or in much reduced circumstances. John M. McFarlane, The Tradition of the Crossing the Line Ceremony, Nauticapedia, 2012. Mariners of the ancient times made animal sacrifices to please Neptune, a Roman sea god. Tradition has it that all sailors crossing the equator for the first time should appear before King Neptune. The ceremonies were often rough and tumble affairs, and an opportunity for sailors to mete out punishment to unpopular officers and petty officers under the impunity of a fun event. Scores were sometimes settled in this way. The Night of the Generals is a 1967 Franco-British World War II crime mystery film directed by Anatole Litvak and produced by Sam Spiegel. It stars Peter O'Toole, Omar Sharif, Tom Courtenay, Donald Pleasence, Joanna Pettit, and Philippe Noiret. The sadistic murder of a young prostitute in Nazi-occupied Warsaw draws a Wehrmacht major into an investigation where evidence points to high-ranking generals. The most disturbing rumors of neo-pagan rites involved children. A toxic mix of misuse of power and official silence became Britain's shame as the country faced up to a web of evidence that the sexual abuse of children by powerful men was covered up for decades. A dam of official silence around child abuse in Britain began to break after the 2011 death of entertainer Jimmy Savile, who was exposed as a predatory paedophile who assaulted victims in hospitals, children's homes, and TV studios over several decades. Since then, several once prominent entertainers have been convicted and police have reopened dormant abuse inquiries. But police themselves are accused of having been part of the problem. Britain's independent police watchdog said it was looking into allegations that Scotland Yard covered up historic allegations of child abuse from the 1970s to the 2000s. Jill Lawless, Evidence Mounts in Britain's Child Abuse Cover-Up Investigation, Associated Press, March 17, 2015. One victim told the BBC the abusers were very organised and arranged chauffeur-driven cars to collect boys from locations such as schools, and drive them to the places they would be attacked, such as hotels or flats in London and other cities. Some of them were quite open about who they were, he said. They had no fear at all of being caught. The most serious allegations, involving a multiple child murder, emerged last year from an abuse victim now in his 40s, who uses the pseudonym Nick. He told of a decade of abuse at the hands of people including senior politicians and members of Britain's establishment. Scotland Yard detectives said in December they believe his allegations that politicians and establishment figures abused and terrorised children as young as 7 more than 30 years ago and went on to kill 3 young boys. The claims also included allegations a child had been run over. Robert Booth, Westminster Child Sex Abuse Claims, Missing Pieces Remain in Inquiry Jigsaw, The Guardian, March 16, 2015. In 2018, the VIP paedophile accuser Nick was charged with fraud and perverting the course of justice. Writing in the Daily Telegraph, then Home Secretary Theresa May said that following a major inquiry into child abuse, we will never look at society in the same way again. She warned that the trail would lead into schools, hospitals, churches, and youth clubs as well as many other institutions that should have been places of safety but instead became the setting for the most appalling abuse. She described revelations up to this point as just the tip of the iceberg. May set up the inquiry into child abuse following revelations about crimes committed by the deceased DJ Jimmy Savile as well as disclosures regarding abuse in Derby, Oxford, and other alleged paedophile rings across the country. There have further been a number of allegations about a Westminster paedophile ring. Jamie Campbell, Theresa May, child sex abuse runs through British society like a stick of Blackpool rock, The Independent, March 14, 2015. Allegations arose that Jimmy Savile abused patients and others at Stoke Mandeville Hospital. Savile abused an 8-year-old girl when she had 144 stitches across the lower part of her body as a result of surgery for cancer. Jimmy Savile was also seen having sex with bodies in a hospital mortuary. He said he drove children to Buckingham Palace. Former Prime Minister Edward Heath was named in a paedophile report. In early 2015, an American woman claimed she was forced to have underage sex with Britain's Prince Andrew, Queen of England's second son. Prince Andrew emphatically denied the claims. The woman at the center of the Prince Andrew sex slave scandal told a U.S. court she believed the FBI kept videos of her having forced sex as a 17-year-old. Virginia Roberts, now 31, alleges she was kept for 4 years as an underage sex slave of American billionaire Jeffrey Epstein, who in turn required her to have sexual relations with Britain's Prince Andrew, renowned lawyer Alan Dershowitz and many other powerful men, including politicians and powerful business executives. Epstein, an enigmatic financier who has palatial homes in Florida, New York, New Mexico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, was the subject of wide-ranging state and federal investigations, beginning in 2005, looking into claims that he had illegal sexual contact with dozens of underage girls at his Palm Beach mansion and elsewhere in Orgy Island. He ultimately entered into an unusual and, at the time, confidential non-prosecution agreement with the federal government that resulted in him pleading guilty to two relatively minor sex crimes in state court. Dershowitz was among a group of prominent attorneys who helped Epstein secure the deal. James Hill, Prince Andrew accuser reveals new sex slave allegation details in court papers, ABC News, January 21, 2015. In the foreword to Fleur Cowell's 1986 book If I Were an Animal, Prince Philip, the husband of the Queen, wrote that in the event he is reincarnated, he would like to return as a deadly virus, in order to put an end to the unwanted growth of human population. Parasites are everywhere. Most species will be living with more than one parasite, and even parasites may have their own parasites. So in some cases, a host may be carrying multiple parasites with different agendas, who must battle for control of the host. This is particularly likely if one parasite is ready to move on to another host, but the other isn't. Lucy Jones, 10 Sinister Parasites That Control Their Hosts' Minds, BBC, 2015. In a squalid and overcrowded district of urban expansion, the beast Nexorus simplus concealed itself from the light of the sun. The Helminth simplus was a hybrid parasite of hemorrhage, a nasty mutant with a restless mind of its own. Its fundamental goal was to propagate its species, whatever the genetic cost may be. The reproduction of its animal genus could only come about with the unwarranted shedding of mammalian blood with extreme odium, piercing strife, and infected red fluid through the mouth. 50 miles away, in a region characteristic of soldiers and armed forces, lived the beast Nexorus solda. More hideous and dreadful than Nexorus simplus, the Helminth solda was born of the angry, brutal butchery of undisciplined soldiers. Cruel and violent conduct made its unseen world go round. Reckless humans easily persuaded and deceived were the ultimate credulous hosts of its abysmal life cycle. Although separated by great distances, the writhing beasts communicated to each other with magnetic fields and chemical waves in ways still not fully understood by science. No serious study of the Helminth Nexorus based on medical observation and experiment had ever been attempted since ancient times. The life cycle of Nexorus, the flesh wyrm of human bloodthirst, was said by skeptics to be a mere figment of the feeble imagination of superstitious priests, embodying the fabrications of black magic and ghostly witchcraft. On September 6, 1966, Dmitry Tsafendas, working as a parliamentary messenger, murdered the Prime Minister of South Africa, Hendrik Verwoerd, with a dagger during a Cape Town parliamentary session. According to his testimony, the delusional assassin was acting under the command of a giant tapeworm wrapped around his guts. In 1970, four housemates living in Quebec were in a spat over the rant. Specifically, one housemate, a postgraduate in the Department of Parasitology at McDonald College, was significantly late on his share of the monthly dues. Tensions ran high, and the quarrels continued. In what sounds like a particularly acrimonious argument, the delinquent housemate made a seemingly outlandish threat: he would poison them with the same organisms that he experimented upon in his laboratory, with the pig parasite Ascaris suum. His threat was quickly dismissed and the roommate was summarily evicted. It was later estimated that the men had been infected with hundreds of thousands of eggs, far exceeding the usual dosage of a few eggs that can naturally occur in regions endemic with the parasite. Two men were so heavily dosed that they were in critical condition caused by acute respiratory failure from parasitic pneumonia. Thankfully, all poisoned men made a full recovery. The miscreant roommate was charged with 4 counts of attempted murder. In court, he denied carrying out the threat and was eventually fully acquitted due to inconclusive and circumstantial evidence. Rebecca Creston, Poisoned with Parasites, Discover, December 27, 2014. The groom of the stool was, in the earliest times, a male servant in the home of an English monarch who was responsible for assisting the king in the performance of the bodily functions of excretion and of washing. The profession had also transformed into that of a virtual minister of the royal treasury. In 2015, Italian artist Christina Guggeri created a set of doctored images showing the world's leaders on the toilet. An Amber Alert is a child abduction alert system to broadcast information to the American public regarding serious abductions. In 1996, 9-year-old Amber Hagerman was abducted and murdered in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In contrast, according to the Mail, prominent members of British society keenly campaigned to support a paedophile group that tried to legalize sex with children. Lord Justice Fulford, named last year as an advisor to the Queen, was a key backer of the notorious paedophile information exchange, PI, which police suspect of abusing children on an industrial scale. An investigation by the Mail on Sunday has discovered that Fulford was a founder member of a campaign to defend PI while it was openly calling for the age of consent to be lowered to just 4. Martin Beckford, High Court Judge and the Child Sex Ring, the Mail on Sunday, March 8, 2014. Addressing government sham, Donald Trump promised to drain the swamp of corruption in Washington, D.C. Reporters like Ben Swan of CBS asked if Pete Saget paedophile rings carried on in some Washington, D.C. restaurants, see pages 413, 528. The Book of the Sacred Magic of Abram Ellen the Mage, based on a legendary 15th-century grimoire, has been cited as a primary influence on Aleister Crowley. The occult lodge ceremony makes use of a small child, between 6 and 8 years of age, as a medium, see Segrun, page 45. The child is placed at the altar before the silver layman, and a white silk veil, similar to the black one worn by the aspirant, is placed over his or her head and face. Critics say the Abram Ellen rite appears to endorse child endangerment. Aleister Crowley claimed that he had sacrificed 150 children in 1 year. Victorian eugenics professors looking for stock semen or procreative compounds to sell to taboo donor insemination experiments enticed underage boys from patrician families into appalling relationships. The British invented racialist eugenics. More precisely, the University of London invented national eugenics, in the service of the British Empire. Whereas Charles Darwin's natural selection described what he saw in nature, his half-cousin Francis Galton's national selection prescribed what action we should take in society. Crucially, this was a prescription for British society, since, said Galton, to no nation is a high human breed more necessary than to our own, for we plant our stock all over the world. Nathaniel Adam Tobias Coleman, Eugenics, The Academy's Complicity, Times Higher Education, October 9, 2014.